NamNab is a podcast that deals with the grisly details of a variety of topics, including true crime cases, government cover-ups, conspiracies, and the paranormal. This content is not suitable for everyone. Viewer discretion is advised.
She was murdered.
What's up, my dudes? Welcome back.
This is not a monster, not a boogeyman.
I'm Naomi.
I'm Janae.
I'm Les. And we have a special guest.
Hello.
Naya, everyone. Okay. So, we left off basically last time talking about Paul Bonassi and a lot of his experiences. And we'll start open up the floor for Mr. John Gosch Sr. Still don't know what he did for work, though.
Super weird.
Yeah, there's not a lot of info out on this man, except there is.
Oh.
Or is there?
But in night, so we ended last time around late
1980s, 1988,
1989. Yep, and so we're starting in 1993 when Noreen and John Gosch Sr. divorced. And they divorced because, as Noreen states, he became violent and started abusing Noreen. So she was no longer safe. And after they divorced, John Gosch Sr. was very active at the beginning, right? From 1982 to late, 1989, he was very active. But after they divorced, that's where he kind of just, like, went MIA. Till this day, there's not a lot of info on him. He was on that documentary.
The one on Amazon?
Yep.
Where's Johnny?
Right. Mm-hmm. He is interviewed. And then there's other weird interviews of him still. And just basically, does not say, or like just contradicts whatever Noreen has said, right, till this day on her book and on her interviews, just being like, no, doesn't that what happened? But as Bonassi filed his lawsuit on his perpetrators, he was asked to disclose and identify a couple people.
Mm-hmm. Everything he knew about the John Gosch case, too. Mm-hmm. The judge asked Bonassi how they knew Johnny would be alone the morning of his kidnapping.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Right. And Bonassi states, that there was a phone call which was an agreement with John Sr. around 1:30 to not go on this route with Johnny that morning, which is that same call. That Noreen states where, Gosch Sr. is like, okay, yeah.
Wow.
That was the first time Noreen had heard that fact.
Mm-hmm. In court. She had to hear this in court.
Wow. It's just fucking wild. I feel like I said it so many times with this, series, but...
So, every single thing that Paul stated came back as being true. And detectives warn Noreen about who she was up against, right? Like, what is she actually dealing with? And they let her know that the police department had full-on instructions to not do anything. Which is why, the day that Johnny was kidnapped, the police came at fucking, what was it?
45 minutes late or something?
Right, and then showed up later again in the day. And we're just like,
At this time, the rest of the police department, like basically from that time, because this is around 1999 now, they had been basically recycled out. Like, there are no more people who were technically on Johnny Gosch's case who were assigned to the police department at that time. Now we have a new police chief who, surprisingly enough, worked under Robert Wadman.
Useless.
So it's like, no matter how hard these people try to get the news out, they're just stopped. But John Gosch Sr. was obviously involved in his son's kidnapping, according to Paul. I'm not sure if those allegations were ever proven to be true. There are some people out there who really don't think that John Gosch Sr. had anything to do with it, so I'm not sure what the final verdict was. Mm-hmm. But I do know that that's what Paul Benassi said, and he's also identified by Rusty Nelson later on, too, at the stand.
I hate how many connections there are to everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like the Franklin cover-up was, like, ongoing for years and years and years and years and years and years, and was able to just be established and have basically fingers everywhere. And it's like a business. It's supply and demand.
Yeah. This is like the weird thing where you're like, this is so weird, it can't be real.
Yeah.
Just because there's so many connections.
Paul wins that court case, luckily, and was awarded $1 million for damages that we don't know if he ever saw. But it's, like, not enough.
I'm pretty sure they never paid him.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think they talk about that in that documentary, too, and I don't think that he ever saw any of that money.
I guess that's kind of the end of Paul's involvement in the case. Years later, though, he is in a cafe with Noreen and is still being followed by two men. Yeah, so it's not like he kind of got out altogether. He's like just trying to be a family man now.
Well, and I think it speaks to once you're involved in stuff like this, it's very, very hard to get out of.
Yeah, so as we mentioned before, Noreen does believe that Johnny is still alive, especially after she heard about him escaping in 1988. But she does claim also on the courtroom stand by law that, because she was asked if she had ever seen Johnny after he was kidnapped, and she says that yes, she was visited for the first time in 1997 by Johnny. You know, she thinks it's because she addressed him on television. It was basically like, here's my name, my number, my address, all that jazz. If you know anything, come. So she like literally was not scared.
No.
At all. That was on the Lisa Gibbs program. And then shortly after, Johnny visited her, supposedly her.
And when he goes to visit Noreen, you know, he basically confirms a lot of the things that Paul said. Doesn't go into too much detail, right? Also, this is his mother, right?
It's 2 in the morning.
Yeah, it's 2 in the morning. And some of the things that Johnny has lived, right? It's just like,
yeah.
She can't hear that.
It's unimaginable.
Right, right. So when Noreen, you know, she's on court, she says these things, says that she saw Johnny later on, right? All the media was just like all over it, right? Like just like, oh my goodness. It drives everyone nuts. It goes crazy. But this is like some of the things that Noreen does mention. Like this is how the case was able to stay alive for so long.
Mm-hmm. So basically, after that whole announcement about Johnny visiting her, Noreen gets a call from a man who she just names Bill in her book. This is the guy who we do believe was definitely in the mob. He doesn't have a name or anything like that. But basically, just let him know or let her know, you know, like when you get tired of all the things that the police aren't doing, call me and I'll help you. So, you know, I think years pass until she's able to get anyone to even interview Paul. And either they were totally aware of what's happening, the mob, or they weren't involved at all. But he does say that, yeah, they don't do kids. So I think that's why he's helping Noreen. He also knows how to track down Johnny for her, like in terms of his location. So I don't know why an adult would still be in usage of these people.
To get other children.
Seriously?
Yeah, so? Like literally.
Because they've been raised in that. They've been brainwashed.
It's not even just the brainwashing. I mean, that is a piece
committed
of it.
Felonies.
But exactly. Like, they've committed felonies. There's blackmail against these people.
Yeah. Right.
They're prisoners. And
they're not going to leave.
As Paul mentioned, he was like, Paul was one of Johnny's guides of like how to live now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How to go about it, right? So like, yeah, they do. Create own
community.
Communities within them.
They're adapting to survive, and they're, right. You know, they're doing things they don't want to have to.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we mentioned that a lot of the time there's a lot of missing holes for Noreen. Like, we mentioned she had a doppelganger.
Right.
Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
So, but when Paul, like, first resurfaces, when he was arrested, he was visited by John DeCamp.
Yeah.
And John Sr.
John DeCamp's his attorney.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And John Gosch Sr., though.
Right, because so they got notified, right? So Paul Benazzi spills the beans, right? And mm-hmm. they obviously have to notify
right.
the John Sr. and Noreen, hey, right. this is going on. So John Sr. is the only one who gets this letter.
Okay.
Doesn't tell Noreen, right? He gets himself and another woman. And they go and visit Paul.
Oh.
Pretending to be Noreen.
What the fuck?
Right.
What would be the intention of that other than to hide things?
So we exactly. get into that, yeah.
Oh, okay, exactly. sorry. I'm like,
no, it's okay. No, exactly. It's a little weird. Honestly, it's a little weird because this woman was later on proven to be an officer, right?
She also worked in the, as a private, not a detective, undercover.
Like an undercover cop?
I think she's a cop or a special agent. Yeah, where? Something like that where I don't know what her connection with John is, but Noreen guesses is that they have a mutual interest in common.
Well, they have mutual friends like Larry King.
Right. So this woman's probably like okay. running a favor or something, right? But multiple times. Like in 1997, Noreen and John DeCamp meet for the first time to her knowledge.
Right.
And she's like, to his knowledge, they have met. She's
right.
like, nice to meet you. I'm so glad we finally get to meet. And he's like, we've met in 1988. Don't you remember?
What are you talking about? Lady, I know you.
And he's like, asks his assistant Jan, like, don't you remember Noreen? And Jan's like, I remember Noreen, but it wasn't this woman.
Right. What the fuck?
Right. So Noreen comes down to a total of 25 people who have met her or who have met this strange woman.
Right.
Pretending to be Noreen.
What the fuck?
John and his helpers made this woman look like Noreen a lot. We're talking even, like, one of Paul Benassi's therapists who kind of examines him also met this woman. So, like, she's in place in really important events that Noreen should be at.
Right.
Yeah, like court cases and all this shit. Anyway, so Noreen posts a picture of this woman or... She writes an article about this happening, mm-hmm. and it goes into the news, the Omaha Herald, and then this person basically identifies the lady for her and stuff. She also put the woman in her book later on,
mm-hmm.
the one who was pretending to be her.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry. The old woman who calls Noreen to tell her who the detective was,
mm-hmm.
to let her know who the woman was impersonating her. She mm-hmm. was part, I think, of the Omaha Police Department.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So... Noreen put that woman's picture in her book without identifying her at all because she actually really didn't know who it was.
Right.
When she couldn't because there's still an ongoing
investigation. Yeah. Did they ever find out who it actually was?
Yeah, they knew who she was. I don't know anything about what happened because she had a stroke. Like right when she finds out that she's in Noreen's fucking book, she had a stroke.
Interesting. Okay.
Paul also remembers meeting this fake woman. The first time Paul meets Noreen, he's like looking at her funny because he's like,
the real Noreen.
Yeah, right. The real Noreen. It's like,
that's not the same.
I feel
lady.
Like I've met you before? Question mark. So basically, we kind of just end on the fact that Paul Benassi still receives a lot of. Calls for himself from other people, other kids across the country, letting him know, like, this is also what happened to me, and you're completely right, and here's pictures of my scars and stuff. Yeah, there was new evidence that resurfaced also in the news. Over the next 5 dozen years, dozens of clues around Johnny's case resurfaced, including a dollar bill in 1985 that he had a handwritten note on, apparently.
Wow.
A woman called the police station and explained she received a dollar bill in a grocery store in Iowa, Sioux, Iowa, and a signature that says, I'm Johnny, I'm still alive. Johnny.
Wow.
Gosh. another. So a couple of deaths happened on this case too. Yeah. There was a private investigator named Gary Cabarro.
Cannadori. We'll talk about him later.
Yeah, Gary Cannadori, which I think was also involved in the Franklin cover-up, but this specific detective was hired for Johnny Gosch's case, so apparently linked to these photos.
He was hired for the Franklin cover-up as well. He was the investigator because the police wouldn't do it.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Well, he basically gets a call to go meet Rusty Nelson in Chicago, who had been hiding after a lot of the allegations in the Franklin cover-up, and takes his son with him because he had a private jet. Do you know if he used his private jet to fly here? Mm-hmm. Which is really strange. So he takes his son as a cover to, like, basically say, like, we're going to a Cubs game. You know, we're not here anywhere else. And he flies his own jet, and it's there at the where were they? I think at a hotel where he meets Rusty and exchanges some incriminating photos of a lot of very important people. Mm-hmm. Gary calls Senator Lauren Schmidt instantly, is like, I'm on my way.
Lead of the Franklin Committee.
There you go. I'm on my way. I got these photos. I'll see you in court. Then his plane just explodes over Illinois. Mm-hmm.
Killing him and his 8-year-old son.
Yeah. A farmer notices in the debris a bunch of photos of basically child pornography. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have
anything to say? Can you imagine just seeing, you like, you're going to the crash site and you just find that? Mm-hmm. How you would feel?
FBI does show up on the scene and basically takes up all of the pictures. And also removes the plane wreckage to a military base.
Which is abnormal for a small plane crash. They don't do that with private entities.
Or even just sometimes other plane crashes.
They even sent law enforcement from Omaha directly to Illinois, which is absolutely not protocol for something like this because of the pictures and things that they found.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So the FBI even shows up in Gary's office and ransacks his office. Just to show, furthermore, they don't give a fuck about this guy or what he has to say. There was even a second death that happened closer to the case where a young man named Troy Bonner goes disappearing too. He was dead. Apparently, he was admitted into a medical facility after claiming some of his claims and recounting his fucking confession. Mm-hmm. Still ends up dead. So, you know, Noreen has been threatened a lot. I think one of the most disturbing cases for her was the rubber sex doll with a bullet in its head that appeared on her doorstep one time.
Whoa. Oh, that's some Carl Baskin's level
shit. Yeah, that's some crazy fucking Tiger King shit.
Yeah, and just to leave on that note of all of this being interconnected, yeah, Troy Bonner was one of the people who stepped forward in Franklin cover-up and also a member of Boys Town. Johnny Gosch, I think, had no relation to the crimes except for the fact that his dad might have known Larry King. So as far as where we're at now, what happened to this whole operation?
So when we get to the end of the Franklin cover-up, you'll kind of see that not much gets done.
So basically with Paul's case, he just gets told he's right and then there aren't any pressed...
He gets found right in a civil court, not in a criminal one.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is different, right? Because the criminal crimes already... Essentially what they did with the Franklin cover-up is they didn't even let it go to trial. They sent it to a grand jury, right? Which is a specific set of people that are picked to discuss this situation. And those records are not public record when things go to grand jury.
All right. Well, come back next week. I don't know what we're putting up next time.
Yeah, we're going to do a little break. So you'll see this very difficult set 3-part case. And then you'll see something a little lighter. I think I got a possession story for you.
Cool.
Maybe something else. I don't know. We'll take a look. But then after that, you can expect to see
Boys Town.
Yep.
Where I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff that overlaps here. And we're doing that on purpose in case you haven't picked up. This is going to be a long-ass series that's going to take a whole season.
Yeah. So, and then we'll do something else, little thing in the middle to make it a little lighter. Then we're going to just tackle the Franklin cover-up, and then we'll be back to our normal normal kind of rotation of cases. I think that's just, at least for me, the Franklin cover-up really spoke to me.
Yeah.
And so I really wanted to discuss it. And I know Johnny Gosch really spoke to Les and Naye, who brought up the case to begin with. So, yeah.
You can thank her for this amazing idea.
So I know it's a lot of parts. Thanks for bearing with us. Thanks for hanging out. And if you want to see pictures from this case, check out the Instagram, Not a Boogeyman.
If you want to get the blog posts, so if you need to read anything, if you want to see pictures in time with what we're talking about, that's at namnab.com.
Also, for more special cases and other activities, join our Patreon.
Yeah. It's linked in the show notes, and you guys get to pick our monthly cases, so you get a little more.
Patreon run by Patreon.
Exactly. Yeah. Get a little more freedom and get some merch. It's a good time.
You get merch and you can help us do like special episodes only you get to hear. Mm-hmm. We want to do extra stuff, hang out, do makeup, play games. Mm-hmm. You know, hang out with us, please. We're lonely.
Come back next week. We'll have something a little lighter for you, and then we'll dive right back into the shitstorm that is this gigantic case.
Bye.
Bye.